Good morning, church. Today we are continuing with the fundamentals of faith. And today we'll actually be looking at the person of Jesus Christ as our brother, our promise, our deacon promise has communicated. But shall we pray once again before we go into this subject? Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, we are so grateful, O God, that you've given us, O Lord, an opportunity once again to look at Almighty Jehovah, at the subject of the person of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that this hour, O Lord, would be eye-opening to us, that would understand, O Lord, the deity of Jesus Christ, the man of Jesus Christ, O Lord, and his mission, O God, on earth. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So as I've already alluded to, we are looking at the person of Jesus Christ. And as we are looking at the person of Jesus Christ, we'll actually look at three points or three elements of the person of Jesus Christ. And first and foremost, we are going to look at God who became man. We are going to secondly look at the man who is God. And we are going to look at the Christ who is Savior. And lastly, we look at the King who comes to rule. So it is important to note that our understanding of the person of Jesus Christ is essential to our faith. For Christ and his blood, rather than our faith, is actually the real foundation of salvation at the end of the day. Yet again, there are a lot of misconceptions about Christ, and one of them being the deity or who Jesus Christ truly is. And if you go to a Muslim and ask them about Jesus Christ, they will most of the time stick to the point that to him being a prophet. If you ask a Muslim, who is Jesus Christ? They'll tell you, Jesus Christ is the prophet. They do not consider Jesus Christ as being divine. They consider Jesus Christ to be a prophet and a messenger of God in the Quran. However, the problem is that the Word of God says that Jesus Christ is also divine. This problem is not only with the Muslim faith alone. For us also as people, we usually have a problem in accepting Jesus Christ as deity sometimes, because at times we usually just associate him as a man that came to live on earth. We do at times wrestle with the fact that maybe Jesus Christ is equal to God, or Jesus Christ is God. And at times we also wrestle with these following questions. How can Jesus Christ be 100% man and 100% God at the same time? Usually, sometimes this doesn't add up to people. And we also wrestle with the fact that how can Jesus Christ be the Son of God and yet also be equal to God? So we wrestle with these questions. But the Bible clearly addresses these questions, and we'll see as we'll be looking at this subject today. And first and foremost, the God who became man. As mentioned above, the issue of Christ being a human flesh and bone, as Luke states, is normally accepted. People accept Jesus Christ as man because he lived at a certain point in time in history. He lived with family. He lived in the context of the society. However, it is important to learn that Christ's existence did not start at his human birth. Rather, Christ existed in the form of God prior to him being born or prior to his incarnation. Was at his birth, he took a form of humanity, becoming 100% God and 100% a man, becoming truly man and truly God. Christ had already existed before him becoming man. And we see that this is clearly and explicitly explained by the writers or the apostles in the New Testament, pointing to the Old Testament of Jesus Christ's existence before he was born. And I would like us to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, to see what Apostle Peter said. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. And this is what the Bible says. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but he has appeared in these last times for the sake of you. Jesus Christ was foreknown before the foundation of the world. And we also see a reference to Abraham in John 8:56-58. And he says this about Abraham. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews say to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Asking. And Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Referring to his existence before Abraham. And also it is actually alluded by Jude in verse 5 that Jesus destroyed the people who did not believe on their route to Canaan. And Jude verse 5 says this, now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. We see here the writers of the New Testament referring to the existence of Jesus Christ before he was born. He existed before the incarnation. Yet Jesus Christ came into the world in human flesh. He voluntarily set aside his independence, his divine attributes, and took on a form of man. He was truly a man in every way, only that he was without sin. Jesus Christ was truly a man in a sense that he actually ate like you and I. Jesus Christ slept like you and I. And in fact, the Bible says that Jesus Christ wept, showing us the trueness of his mankind. And this is actually referred to as the incarnation. Yet then, did Jesus Christ cease to exist as God when he was born? And the answer to that is, Jesus Christ did not cease to exist as God. And this is what Philippians chapter 2 verses 6 to 7 introduces us to. The incarnation of Jesus Christ. May we go there so that we can see this together. Philippians 2 verses 6 to 7. And this is what the Bible says. Who, though he was in the form of God, referring to Jesus Christ, did not count it equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Jesus Christ did not cease to exist as God. He never ceased being a deity in the incarnation. And other texts of scriptures continue to expound on that, as we see in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. And he says this, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy or empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. The whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And this just indicates how Jesus did not cease to exist as God in the incarnation. Yet Jesus Christ voluntarily set aside the independent exercise of some of his divine attributes. He set aside his glory. He set aside his eternal riches. He set aside his glory. That's a picture we get in John 17, verse 5. And he says this, now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Referring to the glory that he had with the Lord, the Father, before the world existed. And he says also in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And this is a verse that actually it is violated by the prosperity preachers. But yet it refers to the riches, the glory that Christ had set apart to come on earth so that he could save us from our sin. And as a result of his self-emptying and self-humbling, Christ took on the form of a bond servant. And there are certain texts of scriptures that we go through that make people to actually believe or to assume that Jesus Christ seemed to cease to exist as God. And text of scripture that says, I can do nothing on my own initiative. I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. It's important to note that Christ had to be a man in order to die in our place. He had to become man in order to take our place, to die for our sins. Jesus Christ came to give his life as a ransom. So he had to become man, he had to be the incarnation. Yet at the same time, Christ had to be God to be the perfect sacrifice. Christ had to be sinless. Christ had to be a divine. Christ had to be God to bear or to bore the wrath of God. And this actually now introduces us to the second point. The man who is God. Jesus Christ is not only man. Jesus Christ is God. Contrary to the opinion of the Muslim who refer to him as only a prophet, Jesus Christ is God. And the Jews wanted to stone him when he made claims that he was God when he was communicating to them. The teachings of the Bible clearly shows that Jesus Christ is truly man and Jesus Christ is truly God. This is actually demonstrated in the power that he actually displayed in his earthly ministry, but also his claim to be the deity, which was validated by signs. And we see the sovereignty of Jesus Christ in Matthew 28, verse 18. And we might go there, but I assume that we have memorized this verse as a church that believes in mission. And Jesus Christ says this, and Jesus came and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me." He claims to have power in heaven and on earth because this has been given to him. And Jesus Christ also, we see in the text of scriptures that Jesus Christ was eternal. That's in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. And I'd like us to go there so that we can see what the Bible says. And Apostle John says this, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which we have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us." Jesus Christ existed from eternity past and is existing to eternity future. One thing I've come to realize as I've been studying the person of Jesus Christ is, it is impossible to separate the man Jesus Christ from the God Jesus Christ, because they are connected. You cannot isolate the other from the other. And Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, according to the writer of Hebrews, is unchanging, is immutable. That's his holy attribute. And the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 13, verse 8 says this, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever," indicating to us his unchanging character. And this is the character of God. And also we see the attribute of all-knowing in Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 up to 3. And this is what the Bible says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding, and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Jesus Christ. And we see how Jesus Christ was sinless and perfect in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And he says this, "For our sake, for you and I, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." We see the sinlessness of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ also is referred to as the holy and righteous one, the character of God. And Apostle Peter says this in Acts chapter 3, verse 14 to 15. But you denied the Holy One, the unrighteous one, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. Jesus Christ is the author of life, and yet Jesus Christ is the Holy One, the attribute of God that is divine. And Jesus Christ also, as he lived on earth, he demonstrated his deity, his power, through his earthly ministry. He actually displayed power over creation by calming the storm. He also demonstrated power over sickness and diseases when all people came to him and he healed them all. He demonstrated power over diseases and sickness. And he also demonstrated power over demons. We've seen this as our pastor Newton has been teaching us. I had to mention that so that he knows we are listening. He actually demonstrated his power over demons when he delivered people from demons. And he also, brothers and sisters, demonstrated his power over death. And it's only God that can do that. He said to Lazarus, "Come forth," and Lazarus rose from the dead. Jesus Christ demonstrated to us that he had power over death. And it's also important for us, as we think about Jesus Christ, in order to appreciate his deity, to also appreciate his titles and the I Am's that we find in the Bible. The names and the titles of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we just say, "Our Lord Jesus Christ," without actually giving a thought to that. But Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is Lord. And this title actually communicates honor, and that we are subjected to him. And we see also the title Jesus Christ. Of course, we are looking at the person of Jesus Christ, and I continue to use a Jesus Christ. The title Jesus, which is a Greek word Joshua, meaning the Savior. And we also see that Christ means the Anointed One, the Messiah, the ones we were waiting for, the one that was prophesied. And we see also Jesus Christ claimed the I Am, and we see him referred to as I Am in the Bible. Matthew 27:43, "I am the Son of God." John 6:35, "I am the bread of life." John 8:23, "I am not of this world." John 11:25, "I am the resurrection and the life." John 18:37, "I am King." Revelation 1:8, 21:6, "I am the Alpha and Omega." Revelation 2:23, "I am who searches the minds and hearts." And if we are following, as we are actually looking at how to study the Bible, we are actually told about the repetition. And we see here, "I am, I am." And lastly, John 8:48, "I am." I would like us to go and see that. John 8:58, "I am." John 8:58, and this is what the Bible says. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And we know the encounter of Moses with the burning bush. When Moses asked, who should I say that has sent me? He was responded to, I am. And this other day, my dad put his sisters, he said that at church, worshipping the God who I am. I'm like, no, it's the Lord I am. Jesus Christ also refers to himself as I am, the title that God claims. And Jesus Christ also displayed his deity by displaying his attributes. We've seen his sovereignty. And we also see that Christ claimed to be God in John 10 verse 31 to 33. And he says this, John 30, I and the Father are one. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? The Jews answered him, it is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because being a man, make yourself God. When Jesus Christ claimed that he and the Father are one, the Jews actually knew what he was actually communicating to them. They knew that he was claiming to be God. That is why they wanted to stone him to death. The Jews did not miss Christ's claim to be God. They got the message and understood it exactly as Jesus was communicating to them. The Jews knew exactly what Jesus Christ was claiming. He had claimed divine authority over angels. He claimed divine authority over men. He claimed, in fact, divine authority over everything when he said that all authority has been given to him on heaven and earth. In fact, Jesus Christ proved it by actually showing the attributes that we are actually looking at. His sovereignty, his holiness, his power over death, his power over demons. It actually proved him being the deity. And then we also look at the person Jesus Christ as the Christ who is Savior. Whatever Jesus Christ came to do on earth, he did not come to do it all for a show. He did not come to do miracles so that we could just be amazed at his power. He did not come to do signs and wonders so that we could just be amazed of how he is great and mighty. Unlike what we see today with people that profess to be men of God, he came on earth for a mission, that which was to save the lost sinners. And according to John chapter 3 verse 17, Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. As we are celebrating Easter, this should be known to us that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, not Muhammad or anyone else. Amen? And he says this, John 3 verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This again is not man-made doctrine. The scriptures actually describes Jesus Christ as the author of saving grace. And also John continues to describe Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God that comes to take away sin. John chapter 1:29. The next day he saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Have you sinned? Jesus Christ came to take away your sin. He became the substitute so that you and I can be saved. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way to heaven. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to God except through Jesus Christ. It's not through Maria. It's not through Muhammad. It's only through Jesus Christ alone. And that has to be clear. And that has to be clear when we actually are reaching out. We want people to understand that the way to God is through Jesus Christ alone. And having said that, this is the King who comes to rule. We have to note that Jesus Christ, having been crucified, having been resurrected and was exalted, he is coming again and will come in power. He is reigning in our hearts, but is coming in which he will reign over everything. Christ is highly exalted. And we see this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above all names. Guess what, friends? Jesus Christ is coming again to reign, to rule the world. He first came as a savior, but is coming again as a judge. And may we go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 to 8. We can start from verse 5 to 10 so that we see that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. Second Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 5 to 10. And this is what the Bible says. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering, since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted, as well as to us when the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction, away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might, when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because of our testimony to you, that to you who have believed. Our testimony to you was believed. We see in this text, it talks about Jesus Christ coming to judge all those that did not believe in him. We learned about unbelief last Sunday. Jesus Christ will judge those that do not believe. He will come to judge the world. And by way of application, as we'll be closing, people actually oftentimes call the Bible the book of Jesus, or the Jesus book. And in a sense, that is true. If you understand the Bible, you actually understand that this is the book about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in the Old Testament as people look forward to the Messiah, Jesus Christ revealed in the New Testament. And we see in Acts the proclamation of the message of salvation in Christ is announced. We see from Genesis to Revelation that the Bible is about Jesus Christ. And the epistles personalize Jesus Christ, for to live is Christ and to die is gain. And in Revelation we see the predomination on Christ on the throne, the reigning King and the Lamb of God. And I hope it will be ingrained in us that Jesus Christ is truly man, and Jesus Christ is truly God, and Jesus Christ is coming to reign, and we will reign with him as believers. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, we are so grateful, O God, that you have given us an opportunity, O Lord, and this hour to look, Almighty Jehovah, at the incarnation of Jesus Christ, his deity, Almighty Jehovah, his mission, and, O God, his reign that's coming. We pray, Almighty Jehovah, that we live in light of this truth, O Lord, that will be subjected to him, and that we eagerly wait, O God, for his coming. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.